Hebrews is a book about holiness, whatever that means, and it has different meanings, but it's just being set aside for God. Set aside, set in a certain place for God's glory. Just so wherever He's got you, wherever you're placed, you're in His presence. So being in His presence is everything. So I told you last time that Greeks think different than Hebrews. They have a different way of approaching life or looking at life. For a Greek, the issue is being. For a Hebrew, the interest is, you know, what you do because of your relationship to God. So the one is focused on who I am. The other one is focused on who I am in relationship to the one who is. So for the Greek, they're interested in, you know, epistemology, ontology, axiology, you know, knowing and being and doing and so on. They're more interested in thinking the thing out. But for the Hebrew, it's just, my God. My God. And so Jesus, being Hebrew, but living in a Greek-speaking world, is able to employ or use the Greek language to describe things that are unknown to Greeks. In other words, their language actually fits in the mouth of Jesus, a different purpose than the Greeks have in mind. Because the natural man is ignorant. The natural man is limited. The natural man doesn't know anything. Now, he may know that there is a God, but what good is that knowledge if you don't know, does that God like you or not? And is he 1 or 5 billion? I mean, if you can't answer those questions, which no Greek can answer, so they don't know if Hercules is a god or a man. They don't know if Zeus is the chief god or an unknown god is the chief god. In other words, with all their brilliance, they're stupid. Not stupid in the sense that they don't have brains. Stupid in the sense that then they speculate as to high gods, middle gods, lower gods, you know, finally down to the emperor, and then finally you, the bums at the bottom. But that's how stupid the Greeks are, meaning they don't know anything. They don't know anything. Now, everything then is not who you are, but who you are in relationship to the one who is. And that would be God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So, in relationship to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, Greek can't handle that. They don't know how to say, now, which one is really God? They can't imagine that Jesus could both be lesser than the Father and equal to the Father. That doesn't make any sense to them. That would be a contradiction. But it's easy for us, is it not? Because you have such a good pastor? No, that's not why. It's because it's right there in the Bible. That Jesus is equal to the Father because he said so. But he also, the Father is greater than he is because he said so. So the one has to do with who he is in relationship to God, and the other has to do with what his government job is. So his government job is love. I'll give another example to show you what I'm talking about. Peggy and I are one. I'm no more human than she is. I'm no more smarter than she is. There's nothing different about us. We have the same being, the same destiny, the same origin, and so on and so forth. But what is different is that I'm the head. And she knows that. Do y'all see that? Which means I'm the one that serves her to bless her. Because that's what heads do. But that's a relational head. Because normally the word head, all in itself as a Greek would understand it, is the guy that's in charge. But the guy that's in charge, according to God, is the one who serves the most. Don't think I'm among you as one to be served. I am the Lord of you, your head, to serve. So he said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, it's totally different than in the kingdom of this world, Greek thinkers. It's more like this, that the father is the one that goes to work. The little kid plays. And the wife spends all his money. That's a good head. Is go for it, sweetheart. I'll just get another job. Amen? See what a good father? Good husband? So how are you in government is, owe no man anything except to love one another. So in government, I'm first. You see, we love because he first loved us. And if you train your children that way, by loving them, they'll love. Because they are loved, they do love. So they don't learn their being by studying their being. I am not a cricket, I am a person. That's not how they learn their being. They learn their being by being in relationship to someone. And when you discover that your relationships with people fall apart if you're not first related to God, then you know that there's a difference. So in government, you're the same person, but who are you? Who are you? The Greeks can't know, cannot figure out who you are. Man is an animal, Aristotle said. So that's how brilliant he is. You're not an animal. I'm going to say it so clearly, Aristotle's wrong. Man is not an animal. Just because he has an arm that moves like this and a dog has a leg that moves like this, that's just similarity. Windmills also go around like this. So I can go like this. Am I a windmill? No. So this how stupid a Greek is to say, because it's similar, therefore it must be the same or related. No, there's no relationship at all. That's something of this world, and I'm not. I actually can be born again and totally out of this world. So my origin, because I've been born twice, my origin is no longer dirt. Here, dust, to dust you shall return. I'm no longer a dirt person. I know I have a body that is not my glorious body, but because I'm living in it, I keep it going. Because I'm living in it, it has a different destiny. Now, it'll disappear and decay in the grave someday or just fall off. But I will live forever and ever as a spirit being. And I don't want you to speculate because you're not a Greek. Just know this, that God wants you to be a lover while you're here. He wants you to be in faith in a relationship with God, not by works. That's why, you know, for a Greek, they have to figure out how it all works. But you can't figure out how it works. Just this is the Father, this is the Son, this is the Holy Spirit that leads all of this. And we live then in relationship to the Son. I'm in Him. And therefore, I can love one another. Because of my relationship, I now know who my identity is. My identity is not Jim. Just like in marriage, I'm not Jim, I'm Peggy's Jim. You see that? And she's not Peggy, she's Jim's Peggy. But actually, we're Jesus's Jim and Peggy. And so relationship is a different way of looking at being, which produces then or creates your identity, who you are, your being. Your being is not your being. It's who you are being in relationship to. Now, if God made you, then you have a being. You're a creature of God. But what if he made you not out of dust or out of word or out of nothing, but what if he made you out of himself, which is eternal? Then I would be eternal in my being. Greeks can't handle that. But for a Hebrew, that's easy. Because you are who you're in relationship to. In other words, I'm in relationship to God by being made by him, but I also could be in relationship to God being made out of him. Because God happens to have left hand and right hand. In other words, he have different aspects to him. Same as you. All women I could be married to, potentially, but I'm actually married just to Peggy. So if God wants to, he can separate out from all one. And so he's chosen me personally. I'm in love with him personally. So my being is totally determined by my relationship, not my relationship determined by my being. So who I am is his. Who I am is his. I'm his beloved. I'm his son. and I'm not a son like others. See, the Muslim might say, oh, we all believe in the fatherhood of God. No, we don't. Your understanding of God is not mine at all. So I am not like any other religious person. They're satanic. Did you see what I just said? So I describe them not because of their being, but because of their non-relationship to Jesus. They're outside the cornerstone. They're not shalom. They're not at peace with this cornerstone. But I am. I'm lined up perfectly with the cornerstone. Am I lined up in my behavior? No. Am I lined up somewhat in my behavior? Yes. So some of my behavior looks like a Jesus relationship, but some of it doesn't. Insofar as I'm still a Greek, trying to figure out God and, you know, figure out what he wants. And for the Greeks, it was just my mind. So Greeks are into thinking about God. How many know that's not what God wants? Is think. Jesus never said, think. Let's think. Jesus would always tell you what to think. Think what I think. Say what I say. Do what I do. So my thinking, my saying, my doing, my feeling, my emotions, my everything, it's all related to Jesus. So if he thinks a thing, I have to think what he thinks, because that's what he says. If I'm in relationship to him, if I'm not, then I'm off. I'm no longer in line with the cornerstone. I'm a brick out of place. So it isn't the brick that counts. It's the brick in relationship to that cornerstone that counts. So the kind of brick you are is not the kind of brick you are. It's what kind of brick you are in relationship to him. I could be a dirt brick and I become a holy brick just by being in relationship to Jesus, who's holy. Because if there's one thing about Jesus, is he's holy. Now, I'm going to teach you some things today that, even though I've said it many times, I know you do not grasp this, and it's real hard to keep it. Even if I teach it to you, you're going to have difficulty keeping it, because the whole world teaches otherwise. So the world is wrong, I'm right. Now, why am I right? Because I'm going to show you how to read the Bible exactly as it's written, not in the way a Greek would understand it, but in the way a Hebrew would understand it. By the way, the title to this book is Hebrews, but it's written in Greek. So now that I've told you there's a difference between being and government, don't get them mixed up. Peggy and I are equal in being, but we are different in government, because I am the head and she has submitted to me, and what she's submitting to is the blessings I'm giving her. In other words, she says, I'll take them. Did y'all see that? So head doesn't mean what you think head means. Head means what God says it means. Because you're in relationship to God, he defines good and evil. He defines right and wrong. He defines what bricks are. He defines everything. So I don't know who Peggy is until I ask Jesus who I am, who he is, who we are in relationship. Therefore, he says, that's not just your wife, like you own her. That is a gift of God to you. I gave her to you. Amen? How many of you picked your own husbands and your own wives? Don't raise your hand. But you, if you did, you got a little surprise there. I wish I had picked, because I don't know how to pick them. So you can actually pick wrong, especially if you're a Greek. But if you're a Hebrew, you can't, because everything is a gift of God. It all comes from God. So even if you pick wrong, he can turn it right. Just get in line with him. Don't fix your husband or your wife, fix yourself. Get your brick lined up right with God, and you'll be in great shape with the other. So this is you, this brick right here, directly in line with Jesus. But so is this brick. But my issue here is not how I'm lined up with Jesus, but how I'm lined up with Jesus so that I'm lined up right with others. So because we love others because he first loved us. So it's your relationship to God. Notice I have a personal relationship because God's a person. He's not a force like in Star Wars. He's not a force. That's evil, satanic. I don't care if you like the movie or not. It's evil. God is a person. He's not a force. Feeling the force. You know, this is baloney. Okay? Evil, bad, satanic. I don't know. Was that clear? I just ruined your whole, video thing, whatever. Now, Let's read the first, and I'm going to read it in the Greek for you to understand these words. All right. In many ways and in diverse manners of old, God having spoken to the Father. So, God in the past, in old times, times past, before the writing of this book by whoever wrote it, God in times past, in many different ways, spoke. And having spoken to the fathers through the prophets, having spoken, you got some knowledge of your relationship. But it wasn't full, complete, perfect. It was in types and in shadows. So when we understand how the temple was built in the Old Testament, it has three different parts to it. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. That's just a type and a shadow. Because in the New Testament, you're the building. But in the Old Testament, the building was the building. In other words, Jews had God with them, but not in them. So they had a relationship with, but they didn't have a relationship in. God wasn't in them. He was among them. So he traveled with them. He had a tent, they had a tent. He had a place, they had a place. So it was all physical. It was all human. It was all something that they could grasp as children, but not as mature adults. Moses could teach about the law, but he couldn't do the law. Because the law was be perfect. In other words, the law was relational. Be like me. He didn't define perfect. Like if you're an acorn, you're going to grow up to be an oak tree. So the issue is that an oak acorn? Yes, that's an oak acorn. Then it'll grow up to be an oak tree. And if it's a pin oak or a red oak or whatever it is, it depends on the acorn. That's a Greek way of thinking. But in God's way of thinking, everything is relational. You're either with him or not with him. You're either in him or not in him. But one thing is true, you have to deal with him. So he messes up you trying to figure out on your own what an oak tree is or anything else. You can't even define anything. You can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and come up with anything. You don't know what good is. You don't know what evil is. You don't know anything. But we all, by trial and error, try to figure out, hey, what's life all about? You know, where do I fit in here? What's the whole deal? And the answer is Jesus. Well, that's not one that the Buddhist has ever figured out. That's not one that the Muslim knows about. They feel Jesus was just another man because they don't know relationship to God. So, I mean, they really sincerely, to the death, will kill themselves in order to please Allah. Allah Akbar. Allah is great. And so they're every day praying five times a day. That's very sincere, but it's worthless. It only sends you straight to hell. But they don't know that. But the problem isn't with them, it's with us. How are we related to God in such a way that we could relate to them so they could line up properly, not with Allah, but with Yeshua HaMashiach? The very people they're fighting are actually the people that they need to be listening to. In other words, Ishmael needs to dwell in the tents of Yitzhak. But instead, he persecuted him. So that's foolish. And it's still going on. But we ourselves are rooted in the Judeo-Christian background. You know, but that's where we come from. So it's not a Greco-Roman world. It is outwardly, but inwardly, it's not. It's actually our world. Did you know that the meek shall inherit the earth, not the smart? If you were a Greek, the smart would be the whole thing. Nous, your mind. So they're into noumena. They're into phenomena. They're into all kinds of silly words because they don't know any better. I mean, you can't criticize them. They don't know. But if you would be the light, then they could see. You could enlighten them, not as a Mason, not as a Kabbalist, not as some kind of a Gnostic, not as all the stupid stuff you learn at TCU and SMU and all the U's. You can't learn anything from those schools because they don't believe in lux et veritas, because what they think about them is in a Greek fashion. Light, enlightenment, But it used to be in Western society that they would have a Bible written there, and then they would say, Lux et Veritas, light and truth, and then they had the Bible right there. That helped, because then it tied it down in a Hebrew fashion. But today, enlightenment means despising Jesus or ignoring him. In other words, don't have a relationship with Jesus. You're smart, you're stupid if you're in a Jesus person, like down here in Texas. You see, we're the Bible Belt, so a lot of people despise us, look down on us as, you know, those yeehaws. Yeehaw! You know, and they just think of you as stupid people. And the fact that you're richer, that bothers them a little bit. Because how can stupid people have money and, you know, live in nice homes? Thought you lived in, you know, the jungle or something. Yeehaw! You know, and so they don't like us because we have barbecues and stuff. Y'all understand? Now, they despised George Bush because he wore boots and wore a hat and talked like a country bumpkin. And that's why they didn't like him. He never sounded presidential. Y'all understand? Now, who are you in relationship to? So let's read. In many ways and in diverse manners, of old, God had spoken to the fathers in the prophets in these last days. I told you these are the last days, right? Yes. Here's last. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. So last would be from 3,500 to the end. So here's the first. You start out here, 1,000, comes the flood. Here's Abraham, pretty soon Moses, and so on and so forth, until you get to Daniel. And right there, Daniel is the one that for the first time says, from now on, those are the last days. So everything after him, he prophesies as a prophet, looking back to the beginning, then he looks forward to the end. Everything after me is last. So Jesus came in the 4,000th year, and he's birthed right there. Okay? So 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, he's birthed right here. Now, 500 years before him was Daniel. So 500 years right there. Now, Jesus is in the last days. He comes in the last days. If I were God, I would have put Jesus in the first days. Right? He did. Actually, Jesus is way back here. It's just that he was brought into the world after 4,000 years of man trying to figure it out. So 4,000 years means, how you doing? How's it going? How is that doing? Is that working? You know, and so 4,000 years, man's in darkness. And Jesus comes in as the light of the world. Y'all see this? This is a relational thing. The Father says, I think it's time. They got enough darkness, 4,000 years of it. The Jewish light wasn't bright enough to get them out of their darkness. As a matter of fact, the Jewish people to this day, here we are in the beginning of the 7,000th year now, the millennium, the last one. We're already here. We're past 6,000. In these last days of the last days of the last days, we still have Jewish people believing they're going to please God by works, that the way to relate to God is through the law. So they see God as a law-giving God. The Father is holy. Jesus doesn't exist, or if he does, he's just a nothing. He's a bad guy. But they don't see that Jesus actually kept the law, and they killed the guy that was going to be not only the law keeper, but also the giver of grace, but also the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. They didn't see that, and so they're still blinded. And they're blinded because of you and me. We're the ones that keep them in blindness because we're not a light. Whatever light we have, it's not very bright. For some reason, the world today still doesn't know about God through us. Yeehaw! That's all they know. There's a bunch of yeehaws, you know, Bible bellers. And they just despise us, which is wonderful. You should not be disappointed that people despise you. That's a good thing. They rightly understood you as, I'm not like you. Amen? I mean, here we still believe there is a God. We have it in our state pledge to the flag. One state under God. We just added that a few years ago because Christians are now, you know, getting involved. So We want to have God in our thing. You know, that's great. Christians plastered everywhere. God, let's say Jesus. You know, put it on their bumpers, put it on their little crosses on themselves. It's not like that in New York City. The only reason people might wear a cross is because it's a, you know, a nice decoration, like an ankh. They don't care if it's an ankh or a cross. It's just something to wear to show that you got something to wear. They don't care where it comes from. It could be an Egyptian ustabi. They don't care what it is. It's just, isn't that pretty? What is that? That's a cross. They don't care what it is. So, thank God we wear those. Otherwise, people wouldn't know we're Christian. So, we live in the last days. So, this book is starting out answering every question you could possibly ever have about who is God, who is Jesus, who are you. So, it says, God in days gone by. Remember, that's written right here. It's written here, right here, in the beginning of the, you know, this is number 5 here, 5,000th. You know, Jesus was born 4,000, so he's right here. Now, this one is written in such a way that he's going to tell you everything you want to know. Everything. And he's going to agree totally with John and Peter and Paul and everybody. This, whoever this is going to write the same story that all the rest of this library has. So God, that's the subject, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his relationship, son. Relationship. Now, the Greek is not, it doesn't care about the word son. It wants to know, now, is he God or is he man? The Greek is into being, not relationship. But I told you that being is defined by relationship. You have a new being if you get into a new relationship with that stone. If you get into right alignment with Jesus, your being changes because of relationship. Now you're born out of God because you're beholding him. You're standing before him. You're living for him. You have a personal relationship with the living God. You are now holy. You are now set aside with God because you're looking at him. You're relying on him. You have faith in him. And he's perfect. And because he's perfect, you are not. But you're perfectly lined up with the one who is. Therefore, because of your relationship, you're all right. But you don't have life in yourself. If you cut your branch off from his vine, you don't have any life. Your marriage is not going to work. Your business is not going to happen. That's why every other state is broke. We're the only ones not broke because, yeah, Jesus. You know, that's us. But that stupidity to the world is actually wisdom with God, because what we're saying is, we're nothing, but God's everything. So if I'm nothing and God is everything, then I become something by knowing that I'm nothing apart from him. Apart from me, you can do nothing, because you are nothing because of the relationship. But if I'm rightly related to him, then I can do things that I couldn't do otherwise, like love. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself unless you're born of God who is love. The only reason I can love Peggy is because the God who is love lives in me. I'm his temple. So here he is, the cornerstone of the house, and then he puts this brick in relationship to him. I didn't put it first because, you know, we're way down here. But it doesn't matter where you are. You have to line up with this brick, whether you're up here, over here, or wherever you are. Line up with that brick. That brick determines all of the angles this way, the you know, the plumb line going up. It determines everything in that building. And you are his building. You are his temple. In other words, don't think building now. Think family. You are related somehow to that son. And you become a son because he's a son. You don't become a father. You don't become the father. You become the son because the son is the cornerstone of this building. And he is prototokos. I wrote this word here. Proto is like proton or something, means first. Tokos is from tikto, which means a creation, or katesis, which was the original creation, was naturally made on God's left hand. But this is a new creation from his right hand. Why? Because Jesus is the cornerstone over here. But he is the cornerstone over here, but he'll have to reject all those stones because Buddha is wrong. Jewish works are wrong. you know, they're wrongly related to Jesus.
They're related to him being perfect, but they can't be perfect. How can they be perfect if Jesus is the only one who's perfect? He filled Torah. He did Torah. He did everything the Father wanted, but he did it voluntarily. So he keeps the law, so we don't need the law, because he kept the law, because he is the end of the law. So there it is. How can I do something since it's already been done? So all religion is baloney. All Christian religion is baloney. If you think there's something you have to do because you have some kind of being. I was born again just simply means I'm rightly related to Jesus. And then you're born of God. Now, it doesn't matter for a Greek, they're trying to figure out how that happened. Stop thinking like that. You're in relationship to him, you just believe in Jesus, and that's how it happened. Well, how did it really happen? Then that's how it really happened. He said so. Well, I'd like to understand it. Well, you can't, because you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and figure it out. He's your beloved Savior as your bridegroom, and you're the bride. He's the bridegroom, you're the bride. That also is part of the bride. Anybody that's connected up into this building, built on that cornerstone, is part of the household of God. House, household. What's the difference? Well, the house is a building, and the household is the people that live in that building, and the people are what makes the house the house. Otherwise, it's just bricks. I mean, a cow could live in it. So it isn't a barn, though. It happens to be a temple because Jesus Christ is Lord of my house. It went, you know, if you come to my house, I wrote that on the door. It's written there in brass, a little brass thing says, Jesus is Lord. So when you come there, he's the Lord of that house, not me. We don't own it. I mean, we do to the world, but not to Jesus. I'm not interested in the world. I don't care about the world. I put that on there so they know when they walk in, this is Jesus' house. Amen? But the house is just a house. But we make that house. And if you take the house away, we're still there. You can take it away and put a tent there or just boot us off. Doesn't make any difference. I'm still in relationship to Jesus. You can kill me. I'm still in relationship to Jesus. I'm not really interested in all those other interesting things. I'm only interested in one thing. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. How beautiful. How simple. How Texan. You know, that is just so too stupid. It's like too stupid. But it's not. It's actually, it's the simple things that bother this world. Because we're clear, crystal clear. I'm never confused. I'm never in doubt. I'm never worried. I'm never nervous. I'm never mad. I'm not. Why? Because Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Now, I don't have to think it through. Now, I have a good mind. I have an excellent mind. It's really well educated. It's worthless. It's have no value because it's all Greekish. It's all Romanish. It's all, you know, whatever-ish. But here's the beauty is I believe that Bible. Once I read that Bible, I didn't need to read anything else. Once I read the Bible, I didn't need to read anything else. Everything else is hogwash. I mean, it took me all those years just to figure out, well, this is the only book. I had to read all those other books to figure out how stupid everybody was, and me. And then, you know, I figured out, well, I don't need all those other books. I just need this one book right here. Because it isn't the book. It isn't the physical thing. It's the person. Jesus is the Word. This book is not, you know, I don't worship the book. I worship the one that the book is talking about and giving revelation to and testifying about. But the underlying reality is not the book. It's not pieces of paper written in English or Latin or some other language. It's not the language or the writing or the white pages with the black markings on them or even red. Mm-mm. It's actually what it's talking about. And so the book itself is just a tool. It's just an instrument. Just as I am. I am nothing apart from him, but I'm everything in him. In relationship to him. So this is saying here, that God, now he's speaking through the Son. Now listen to what it says. In the last days, these spoke to us in the Son, whom he has appointed, verse 2, heir of all things. Kleromenos. All right? So, kleros is the Greek word for being an inheritor. Now, why does Jesus become an inheritor when he's God? Because he's not talking about his being. He's talking about his relationship to the Father in God, Father's government, which is he's going to inherit us. And so he starts a whole new race as prototokos, the firstborn. But it doesn't say firstborn. It says first creator of a new race. But you don't know that as a Greek because it just says firstborn. But it's actually saying the first one who creates those that are born again. He's not born. Jesus is not born. So how can he be called the firstborn? Because that's a relational question. God is saying, I'm the Father. He's my Son. And I begot him. But he didn't beget him in being. He begat him in a relationship of love. See that? Now, this is hard because your mind is trying to figure it out because of language. But understand the way that God has his own dictionary, how he defines everything, is different than the way Webster's does. So you can't understand this in a Greek fashion. Whom he appointed. Now that ethaken, appointed, is from the Greek word theke, which means, remember, when you're born again, which means new relationship, when you're born again, it means you are in right relationship to the one who is. So that's why you're born from heaven. This is a heavenly stone. This is not an earth stone. This was a stone not made with human hand. It wasn't cut with a human hand. It's a perfect stone that comes from heaven, and the whole earth is built around it, and the whole earth will either be lined up with it or not lined up with it. If it isn't, it'll perish. Because he is life. He has life in himself. The Father has life in himself. They're both God. You now don't have life in yourself. You have Christ, who is life, in yourself by relationship. Angels are creatures. Jesus is not. Jesus is the creator, not the creature. And all things are made by him. And the new creation, on the right hand, is also made by him. But of course it's made by the Father through the Son. Because the Father lives in the Son. Because they're in relationship. That's why he can say the Father's greater than I am. Because he's the temple for the Father when he's on the earth doing that job. But actually, he's equal to the Father. And the Jews said it, we're going to kill him because he's making himself equal with God. Of course, because he is God. He's the creator. So they killed their own creator. But the creator they killed is not the left hand of God, but is the right hand of God. But actually, Jesus also was the left hand of God. And you can't kill that creation, so it jumped up again. So he didn't actually perish forever because he can't. Because the Father dwelleth in him. So, you can't kill the Father in the Son. Why he can't kill you? He can kill you physically, biologically, yes. That's left hand. But he can't kill you spiritually. So you'll live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You can never die. So, that's so powerful that I'm always going to be his beloved. And since he's perfect lover, I'm safe. I'm secure. Zippity-doo-dah. You know, it's like, wow, I can't lose. How can I lose when I've already won? Because I'm in relationship to the guy that likes me. And he actually likes anybody and everybody. And you don't have to do anything to get onto his good side. This is the side he wants to show, not this side. And the Jews are still over here trying to get into this building camp. You can't get to God by being good. I thank God that nobody in this church is any good. Could I see a show of hands? You are evil apart from him. But forget who you are. It's who you are in relationship. You are not evil if you're in right relationship with him, even though you were evil. Even though you were a sinner, you're not a sinner when you get in line with him who isn't a sinner. Now, even though you were a sinner born naturally, and you've sinned and you're way out here somewhere, you know, whether you're rebellious to the law or kept the law outwardly, you didn't keep it perfectly. He did, and he's the only one that could, and he's the only one that ever will. And he did it without even trying. But you can't keep that law. You can't be what God wants. You can't be the cornerstone. You're not the cornerstone. I'm not the cornerstone. But I'm tied to, intimate with, a living stone
tied to this living stone. Because he's alive, I'm alive. So I'm no longer apart from him, I'm in him. I'm of him. Just like Peggy and I are one. I can't be blessed unless she's blessed. I can't be in trouble unless she's in trouble. Whatever happens to her happens to me. We're one. And the same in the church. We're all, if you get hurt, I'm hurt. And if you're blessed, I'm blessed. And whatever I have, it's yours. Mi casa es su casa. You know, we're one. There's no way that you can separate yourself in God's eyes if you're rightly related to him. Because he actually likes everybody. He wants everybody to be saved, even Jewish people. He's waiting around 4,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. He's in the 7,000th year and he still likes them. They're never going to churn. He already promised way back there, I will have a people and I'm going to have Israel. I will have a new Israel. I'll have the Israel I want. And there's going to be people in our day, Israel, who will turn to God. And when you see it, you'll go, oh, I knew that. We knew that was going to happen. We knew that the nation of Israel would turn to God, not the nation of America, not the nation of, you know, Timbuktu. It's going to be Israel. That's the only nation in the world that's going to turn back to God and say, we did wrong as a nation. Because they've seen us, and they've seen our beauty and our glory and our, you know, our love and our kindness and so on, right? That's why Israel will turn when they see our mercy. They're jealous of our mercy. I don't know. Maybe they don't see it today. That would be because you're keeping it hidden. You know, you're not showing them as God has shown mercy to me, so he will show mercy to you. And mercy is what's in his word, whatever he has said. So he spoke to us years of old, but now in these last days, 4,000 forward, through a son. So these next 3,000 years is where we are today. 1,000 has passed, 2,000 has passed. Now we're into the very last one. So you're already in the millennium, even though it's not yet called the millennium because of the Antichrist who hasn't yet announced himself. So the minute he gets up and he says, I'm God, and he sits in the temple, that is in the church, in God, among God's people, and said, this is my house. That's when God goes, hey, wait a minute, that's my house. And God will come down and knock him down. So Jesus can't come back until that happens, until someone tries to take over his house. So as soon as he sees that we're a pure people, Satan can't get us. He can't get me. I'm in Jesus' house, period. Yeehaw! BZ can't do anything. He hates that. He doesn't even live in Texas. Unless you brought him. So here we're rightly related to God. Why? Because we fear God. We love God. We trust God. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to be smart alecks. We don't have to be intelligent. We don't have to be good. We don't have to be great. We don't have to be glorious. We can just be us. Just get rightly related to Jesus and it's over. You believe in him. Now, these different faces that you see here, this one is the Kaios. This one is Hagios, and this one is Doxa, three different faces. So as you move here, then you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. This one here is Savior, and these two are Lord. That one would be Hagios and so on. He actually changes you. From glory to glory, he's changing me. So he's actually changing you into his likeness. In his image and likeness, da-da-da-da-da. You know, so he's actually changing you by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it's my job is not to tell you my words. My job is to tell you his words and to do his deeds. Why? Because he lives in me. Is God the only one that, you know, lives in me? No, me lives in there too. But me doesn't live in my spirit, my heart. Because in my heart and my spirit, I'm pure. Because I believe in Jesus as the only one. He's the Savior. But now as Lord, we're duking it out. Jesus wants to live in my soul. And be the Lord, not just of my heart, but he wants my soul now. And then he wants my body and my life. And pretty soon he's going to consume everything. I won't have any me left. If you lose your life, you're fine. Now that you're married, you want to lose your life so that your wife doesn't see you. She just sees Jesus' loving her through you. But if you still love you, you get into an argument then. There's no way. Huh? There's no me? I love
He's gone.
Yeah. He's gone. That's good. That's powerful. It's as simple as that. It's me who's still, you know, trying to show up from day to day because Satan tries to bring him up again. Me is really not anything anymore. And just by not changing you, you can't change you. You just simply say, it's not me. Just what he just said. You just say it. And then pretty soon you see it. You have to say it before you see it. You can't see it and then say it. This is, Jesus said, it's better, Thomas, that you believe and then you see, than that you see and then you believe. So you don't need to see it, you just need to say it. So you just say right now, I'm perfect. Well, you're not. There's your behavior doesn't look like it. Yeah, I'm not referring to that. I mean in my spirit. And now in my soul, every day I get there, and one of the ways I get there is by saying who I am. Because I am not who I am, but I am who I am in his eyes in relationship to him. So now, the next verse says, all things whom he appointed to be heir of all things, panton, panta, or pas, it's the Greek word that means all, or every. So, he is the creator, the maker, Jesus is, the Son, he's the creator of all things. So, angels, rocks, clouds, grasshoppers, and you. You know, monkeys, and so on. He created all that. It's all created not only by him, but for him. Everything out there, everything, every molecule in the universe is created by Jesus for Jesus. And what's he going to do with it? He's going to give it to you. He wants you to be lined up perfectly with grasshoppers and crickets and clouds and angels and everything else. And also Satan, who's not lined up right, he wants you to be rightly related, that is, unrelated to Satan. You don't listen to Satan anymore because he's a liar. So that's why the other religions in the world are lies. Again, I'm not putting them down. I'm just stating a fact. They're not lined up with Jesus. I mean, that's obvious. And so because they're not lined up with Jesus, they're going to teach you a lie, which is, it always is, and it is, and it always is, that you have to get there by your good works. You have to be good in order to do good, and that's how you get good with God who is good. No, lie. It sounds like the truth, but it's actually a lie. Here's ours. Ours is much better. You have to be bad and do bad so that a good God can forgive you and love you through mercy. That's it. And that's your relationship is, we're there thankfully. They're not. Because if they are good and they be good and they do good and they am good, well, then of course they get a reward for that. But God doesn't give out rewards. He just gives gifts. So I like the face that gives gifts rather than, you know, pays off rewards because I won't get anything. If you're out of a job right now and you're not working, you don't get any pay. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, so you're out of a job and you're not working. In God's sight, he can't pay you because you never did perfect. How many know you can't be perfect? And you marry people that cannot be perfect. I don't know if anybody's discovered that, but the person you're married to is not perfect either. And thank God you have the wisdom to see that. You can actually spot, I mean, I can. I can see where Peggy's way off. I can see right there, you know, Peg, way off. What am I doing? And then see the nasty little tone she had there. But she's right. I'm not right either. And, you know, she hates it when I, you know, use that on her. She likes me to be her servant rather than her lord and master, judge and jury. She doesn't like that. Jim, how's that blessing me? Just get me like that. You know, I like, you know, I won't tell. It's too funny. Okay, yesterday I was on the computer, but it's her computer. I have my own computer, but I was on her computer because I started something on that. Get up. I said, no, I'm working on this right now. God is inspiring me, right? I get a good way. That's my computer. I don't care about you or God. Give me that computer. That is my computer. Get up. What are we going to do? I want to look up the weather. It's on the TV. Go out and look on the TV. No, that's my computer. Get up.
You're my servant.
You see, there you have it. See, she's got that down. Y'all understand that? So I hated her for that. I told her that, too. I told her, I hate you. You know, I want to use this. I got my inspired paper here for God. I'm trying to finish this off. But, you know, she was, you know, needling me, you know. Are you still happy? All right.
Of all things, by whom also the worlds were made. By whom? Well, how was the world made? By God, by Jesus. God, through Jesus, made the world. In other words, the Father spoke a word, and Jesus was the word that he spoke. Greeks can't understand that. How can a word be objective, you know, something that's a person? Well, it is. So that's the way God puts it, because the relationship of God to his word is the relationship of God to his son. So the word of God, God's word, is Jesus. That's his word. And the spirit of God, which they both share, is the Holy Spirit. But they're three persons. Okay. Oh, I don't understand that, Pastor. I don't understand it. Well, you don't need to understand it. You're asking in a Greek fashion to get understanding, even if I told you it wouldn't make any sense. So people make up stuff like, you know, water, steam, and ice, and all that junk. No. You're not going to understand it because you come up with that kind of analogy or whatever. It's what he says, and you don't have to get it to get it. You just have to be in right relationship to him and humble yourself. You're not going to understand anything unless he gives you understanding, because he has all knowledge. You don't have some and he has some. He has all knowledge, so you have to get whatever knowledge you have from him. So he tells you who your wife is. He tells you who your husband is. He tells you who your children are. He tells you who your enemies are. He tells you everything. Amen? Peggy says it's time to go, so I'm gonna finish up here. It'll only take me an hour. Who, verse 3. Now, this is the most interesting right here. This word who means Jesus, the Son. This Son, he's going to describe now in three ways. First of all, who being the epaugasma. Now, epi is upon, and augasma means brightness or glorious brightness. But it says the brightness of his glory. That means Jesus actually is. He is, because he's in relationship too. He's actually the brightness of his glory. You want to see the glory of God? You can't. You can't look directly on the brightness of glory. You have to see it in Jesus. So Jesus, who is the brightness of his glory, not only that, he is the exact character. That's the word in the Greek, by the way. He's the exact image or character of the person of God. And that word has to do with being itself. Now, you want to see being itself? No Greek has ever thought, ever, that they understood being itself. They knew that was upstairs. So the Greeks only could aim at being related to that being through their head. But you can't relate to God through your head. It's not how you're born again. You're born again through the heart. So the Greeks are way off, because they didn't have a personal relationship. It's always abstract, impersonal, way out there, third party. That's the way Greeks think. So they're wrong. Ours is not third party at all. He's my beloved and I'm his. We have a love affair. Oh, what a difference between trying to think things out, which takes time. By the way, when you're thinking, you're not alive. Thinking is a parenthesis on life. In other words, doing, making a decision, doing it. Now, that's alive. But thinking is, you know, sometimes in the movies they'll do that. They'll have the whole thing just shut down, and the guy, you know, like a Fiddler on the Roof, he'll just start saying and speaking to his kids, and then he'll just kind of go off thinking. But, you know, on the one hand, of course, on the other hand, you know. And when he's doing that, he's parenthesising, and he isn't living. In that moment, his thoughts look real, but they're not. He's not living because he's not doing anything. Then the scene changes, and everybody's unfrozen, and then he starts talking to him again. Okay, I'll give you my blessing. You know. And so when that happens, but the thinking was a parenthesis. People that think all the time aren't living. They're just thinking.
For example, I could think I love Peggy till I actually get in front of her. And then it's like, well, my thoughts just go out the window. It's like, you know, but why'd you burn this toast? You know, and I'm mad. You all see that? That's real life. I'm living now. And I'm living, too. I'm just like, you know, that's wrong, Peg. I'm your beloved. No, you're my servant. Just eat the toast. It's a burnt offering. Eat it. All right. Now, so that's two of the things. One, he's the brightness of God's glory. And then he's the exact expression of the substance. Hupostasis. Hupostasis means you're standing on God or you're not standing. If you're not standing on solid ground, God, you're on sand. So you standing has to be on that rock. That's the rock upon which your whole life is built. Your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your money, your house, your everything is all based on that rock. That rock gives you everything. That's your safety. That's your security. That's your blessing. That's your prosperity. That's your peace. That's your all in all. Why? Because he's the one that holds the universe together. He actually holds the universe. The molecules would fly apart if Jesus didn't hold them. Now, science has never figured out what I just said because they can't, because it's Greek thinking. But science can't figure out how a person like Jesus, a spiritual person, could hold together the molecules of the universe, but they don't know how they are held together. They don't know what glues, what is gravity, why do things stick? Why don't they fall apart? Why doesn't chaos destroy the earth? There's more antimatter, they say 6 to 1, but there's more antimatter in the world than there is matter. Why does matter work? Why is it still organized? Why isn't it totally entropic? Why doesn't it fall into utter chaos and then stop? Because God keeps it going, and Jesus is the one that upholds it with his right hand. Jesus is the one upholding the universe that God the Father made through the Son, by the Spirit, and he holds it. So you wouldn't even be here if he stopped speaking. If Jesus decided to eliminate the world, he'd just close his mouth. And then it'd be the end of it. You only live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if he stopped speaking, you would not live. Your life is totally dependent upon the juice that comes through that vine, which comes into the branch and produces that fruit. So when you produce fruit, it wasn't you producing the fruit. Cut the branch off and you'll see there's no fruit. The fruit comes from the nourishment that comes from the roots that comes from God. And so, Jesus is not the one who is the firstborn. That's a relationship issue. He's the firstborn. But he is the first begetter. He is the first one that gives birth to the new creation. So in that sense, he says to him, and we'll get into this next week, to what angel did I ever say, today I have begotten you? So you think he's the begotten as though it's passive. That's his job. That's because of God living in him, but he's creating a new creation. He doesn't create the new creation over here. He creates the new creation from here, new foundation, to here, and then it actually does everything that's in here. But he changed the foundation to be himself with God so that you are no longer working, but you are now believing and enjoying. And celebrating. Every minute of every second of every day, you don't have to do anything. You are his beloved. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You didn't promise him anything. He promised you. You didn't do anything. He did everything. It's done. Celebrate. Yeah! That's where Texas is way ahead. We're way ahead because we don't have to think. It's all been thought out. We just submit all of our thoughts. Take every thought captive to obedience of that word. Jesus did it all. You see how happy we are? You don't have to be anything or do anything to please anybody. You're already pleasing in God's sight. Why? Because you just decided to line up with Jesus. He was the giver and you just figured out, hey, he's the one that's got it all. Let's go to him. Let him give it all. Jesus, could you keep me alive? Yes. Can you prove it by living inside of me and then doing things that I can't do? Yes. So every time you do something, it wasn't you. It was actually Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I hope you were blessed. I hope you understood the magnificence of Jesus being God. He is not the firstborn. In government, he is. In relationship, he is. But he's the first begetter.
He is the head, the federal head of a new race. He is the second Adam. Adam made a race. God made a race through Adam. Now he's making another race on the right hand, not the left hand, which will never perish. You'll never disappear. You will never be afraid. You will never fail out of his right hand. And all of those that believe his right hand are related to the brick that way. That cornerstone is facing me, is the love of God. Here it is, the unconditional love. Jim, you failed over here, but you are a success over here because you believe in me who did it for you. That's all. So I have a faith relationship to Jesus. Does that make sense? All right. Let's have one testimony. I'm off.